I'm Brittany Luce, and welcome to Sampler, the show where we play you handpicked moments from podcasts that you just have to hear. So I am super excited for my guest today. Technically, I guess we're neighbors.
We were neighbors. You were the first person I sat next to when I arrived here.
That is true. Well, I guess now that you've started talking, I should introduce you. Welcome to Sampler, Wendy Zukerman.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so for those of you guys who don't know, Wendy is the host of fellow Gimlet show, Science Versus. And I'm really looking forward to this episode today because Wendy has brought clips to play for me. So Science Versus actually launched in Australia last year. And we heard it at Sampler when we were looking for clips for the show. And then Gimlet was just like so impressed with Wendy and how great the show was and how much fun it was. And we acquired it. And now the second season of Science Versus and the first season of Science Versus as a Gimlet show is coming out on July 28th.
Yeah.
It's coming up.
It's coming up.
Tell people about what Science Versus is all about.
So Science Versus is a show that pits facts against everything else. So we look at all these ideas in society. Some of them are fads. Some of them are diets. Mm-hmm. We look at organic food. We look at fracking, the G-spot, all of these things, and we really put them under the scientific microscope. But hopefully we do it in kind of a fun and goofy way.
First, I thought that Wendy was going to bring clips about science, which is something I'm not super familiar with, I guess, past high school age. But actually, Wendy brought some clips that sort of have to do with something else I know absolutely nothing about, which is her homeland of Australia. So if you couldn't tell by Wendy's accent, she is from Down Under.
Oh, nice. That wasn't too bad.
That wasn't bad?
It was pretty bad. It's pretty bad. It's a hard accent. I'm really excited to bring you Aussie podcasts because we've really stepped up, I think, in the last couple of years and we're making some really good stuff.
Well, I mean, you know, take it away.
Let's get the ball rolling.
I'm excited.
So this clip is from Burn Your Passport, which comes from the ABC, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. And it's hosted by this very wonderful Australian comedian called Nazeem Hussain. Mm-hmm. And the premise of the podcast, the kind of loose premise, is that traveling is crap. Why would you ever leave Australia or your homeland? Mm-hmm. Burn your passport, stay where you are.
Oh.
But it's really just an excuse for Nazeem to get a whole bunch of comedians on the show and and have a chat. And the clip that I want to show you is from Sammy Shah, his interview with Sammy Shah, who's mm-hmm. a Pakistani comedian. And Sammy is telling Nazeem about a time that he got into a Twitter feud with a very unlikely opponent.
I was on Twitter one day, yeah. And I made a joke about the Taliban because they were threatening TV stations in Pakistan. The TV stations are critical of the Taliban, so we'll blow them up.
Yeah.
So I did a thing where I was like, oh, the Taliban threatens TV stations, complaining the way my grandparents complain that there's nothing good on television anymore. So the spokesperson for the Taliban, the official spokesperson, his name is Ehsanullah Ehsan, was on Twitter and had an official account. I bet he even had a blue
tick. What was his display pic?
Yeah, he's got a blue tick. I bet he had one.
What was his photo? Is it a smiley
one? It was him on a horse.
Oh, man. Like, you know, that's what you want. If you're the spokesperson for the Taliban, you don't want to just be standing there against
a tree. Yeah, you can't just be grinning like an idiot.
No, not even against your motorbike. No, you got to be old school.
That's it's got a horse with a scimitar or something.
So. Smile or no smile?
I'm pretty sure there was no smile.
Oh, yeah. Damn straight.
It was like those Tinder pictures, you know, where you look away and you don't smile, but kind of like,
I look aloof enough?
With a dog, you know? So he tweeted back at me and he goes, yes, but the difference is that our old people have exothermic reactions, which is a suicide bombing reference.
Oh, God.
And then I tweeted back and I said, yeah, but you haven't been around my grandfather when he has beans for breakfast. And then he tweeted back and he said, that's really funny. You should come over here and do that joke.
Oh!
And I realized I'm trading fart jokes with the Taliban
Whoa.
On Twitter. and no one should ever say that sentence in their life. And I have friends in journalism in Pakistan who then messaged me and said, dude, whatever you're doing, stop right now.
Wow.
Because this is not going to end well.
Though, you know, so, online communication does have a tone problem. Like, it's hard to understand. Like, maybe he was actually being quite cordial and he wasn't like, maybe they just established a comedy club, like a Taliban comedy club.
The Tora Bora Improv. You
know? And if you bomb on stage.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're the horn on that one.
So did you favorite or retweet that one?
Well, I did retweet it. And then all the journalist friends were like, dude, you need to be careful because then the Pakistan intelligence agency will get on you for this. So then I deleted the whole thing.
What? Literally, okay, first of all, I like the fact that he's like, oh, well, I deleted the entire exchange. But then went on like a podcast
and talked about it all. Yeah. And this is, I feel like this is very Australian humor to make a joke like, I hope you don't bomb on stage.
That's Australian humor?
That's Australian humor.
Oh, wow.
We cut it close to the bone, let's just say.
It's close to the bone and on the nose. Talk about on the damn nose. Oh, my God.
There's definitely something to it. I mean, the idea of when something really horrible happens in the world and that you have to give it some time before you then make a joke about it.
Yeah.
That concept exists in Australia only to break it. So a bad event might just have ended and there will be a pun ready to go. And then kind of people look around like, what, too soon? Nope, definitely not too soon. Here we go. Let's do this. And I don't think as a nation we're not taking these events seriously.
Yeah.
It's just how we are dealing with them and talking about them.
This is good. I feel like we're off to a very strong start.
Should we take it down a notch then?
Sure. I mean, I have no clue what you're playing. So should we take it down a notch? And I'm like, where is down?
Oh, okay. This is like, it kind of fits into the theme of going from laughter to serious to laughter too quickly back. So the next clip I'm going to show you is from a show called Better Off Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a podcast about euthanasia. And
ooh.
Yeah, so deep breaths. And this is hosted by Andrew Denton, who's a TV personality in Australia. So he's very well known. And he says up front in the first episode of Better Off Dead that his dad died what he thought was a very horrible death. And so he goes on this journey in this podcast to find out why his dad had to die badly. And that is why there aren't laws in Australia, like there are elsewhere, that allow doctors and nurses to assist in suicides.
Mm-hmm.
And in this clip I'm going to play, you will hear Andrew Denton, but first you'll hear from a nurse named Kathy Pryor, and she's talking about the moment that she helped her dad to die.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to know that her dad was dying of terminal cancer, and it was at quite a horrible phase, and he had tried to kill himself twice and it didn't work. So it's coming to this point.
Oh, my God.
And this is what happened.
I went in one day and he said, I so want to go. I just want to go. And he knew his death was going to be horrible. So I said to him, look, Dad, if you really want to go that badly, I'll take you home and I'll help you. We went home to his house and we walked around the garden and he was so calm. We looked at all his fruit trees. He told me how to prune his fruit trees to make sure people ate the apples and what to do with the raspberries. And it was quite surreal. And finally said, no, I've had enough. Let's go and have a glass of wine. So we had a glass of wine and I said, Dad, you know, do you really want to do this? And he said, I'm so happy. This is wonderful. I'm going. And he said, you are so brave to help me do this. And I just said, look, hopefully when my time comes, someone will help me. We had insulin, morphine, pethidine, and he showed me the vein. He injected some of it himself, and then I injected him. And I sat with him until he lost consciousness. And one thing he'd said before he died was, don't let me survive. Whatever you do, do not let me survive.
To make it appear as though Peter had suicided, Kathy went home, then came back, expecting to find him dead.
I got rid of the syringes and all the rest of it, came back, and he was still alive. I mean, deeply unconscious, but he was alive. I just presumed we'd give Dad all these drugs and he would die. And because he said, don't let me survive. So I put a plastic bag over his head and tied the bag around his head. And the noise was awful because the breathing, you know, the bag was going in and out of his mouth. And finally I put a pillow over his head until he died.
Oh, my God.
It's heartbreaking, and it makes you just question a lot. What do you think?
Well, the thing that got me is, like, you go into this situation, or she went into the situation thinking that it was, for better or worse, it's pretty cut and dry. But then, like, when she returned and he wasn't dead, it's like, that's like a completely different emotional jungle gym. Do you know what I'm saying?
Where, yeah, it's not like, for like, sure, when you're actively putting a plastic bag
and a pillow over someone's head, you know what I'm saying? It's different than injecting drugs, I think. I don't know what kind of relationship you have to have or what kind of mindset you have to be in to think that this is the most loving act that you can perform for somebody that you care about. And then, like, not even really taking into account, what is this going to do to me?
I guess we just don't talk about it. And I like that at least this podcast gives you, at least you can talk about it through these people. Yeah. And you don't have to say, if I can't even finish the sentence, yeah, you know, if it were me.
Gosh.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's a, yeah. I mean, don't listen to this one for laughs, I guess.
That's an Australian joke.
Yeah, too soon? Too soon.
Okay, well, Wendy, we are going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to talk more about the new season of your show. And we're going to hear some other stuff from Australia. So just like a boomerang, we're coming right back.
Oh!
Look at that. Look at that. Welcome back to Sampler. My guest today is Wendy Zuckerman. She is the host of fellow Gimlet podcast Science Versus. And Wendy has been playing me moments from some of the best Crocodile Dundee Land podcasts.
Decades old reference there.
To me, it feels, that's how I know I'm getting old, because, like, to me, I'm like, Crocodile Dundee's very recent.
Yeah.
Very recent.
We're talking 80s, I've got to say.
So, Wendy, the new season of Science Versus is coming out July 28th, and you and your team have been working, like, nonstop to get it ready. So, like, how are you doing? Like, how are you feeling?
It's getting exciting. We've got the trailer out. Mm-hmm. We're starting to put everything together. It's feeling like it's in a good place, but it's very nerve-wracking.
It is. It's scary, like, to put something out there in the world.
It is. I keep thinking I'm not scared, and then last night I had this dream that we were in the studio editing, and mm-hmm. the whole, like, a lot of people were in that studio, Alex Bloomberg, Matt Lieber, and mm-hmm. I really needed to fart, and no one would let me out of the studio. And that was the... That
you know
was
what's
it.
Funny is that for a second, I was like, I forgot that you said that it was a dream. And I was like, this is every day for me. I was about to be like, oh, my God, me too. And then my other side of my brain was like, no, she said it was a dream.
I snorted. You made me snort. Yeah. So I think that tells you a lot about my anxieties.
Well, what can we expect in season two? I loved season one. Like, I remember you talked about, you know, pornography. You talked about the paleo diet. You talked about being sugar-free. You covered a lot of my favorite topics.
Oh, that's nice.
So what can we expect in season two?
In season two, the episode's going to be a bit longer, more in depth. Mm-hmm. We're going to go out on the fields. In the fracking episode, we go out onto a frack site and we see how it's done, and we kind of put these questions and fears that people have about fracking straight to the frackers. One particular scene that I'm thinking of. Mm-hmm. So we met Seneca Resources, the fracking company, really mm-hmm. early in the morning, and Rob Bulwer, who's their PR guy, showed us around. And then all of a sudden, we're just outside the frack site in his car.
Like this. Have you guys seen these letters? from there. And we're just like chatting about how the frack works. And then all of a sudden we start getting into questions about contamination. And they were just starting to get not uncomfortable at all, but completely skirting the question.
This is to Seneca, and this is a letter stipulating that you guys changed the water supply.
So just the fact that you have one of these letters doesn't mean we actually polluted something. It means that they're responding to a complaint that was made.
I think this says it actually, it did determine that there was a pollution, a contamination caused.
Let me see what's this one. This is like Warsaw Township, Jefferson County.
It was sort of, it felt a little like bizarro land, because if you and me were to have a conversation, yeah, I would ask you a question, you would answer it, and they would have the exact same body language, but then just not answer it.
Might go wrong. And you even mentioned, like,
I stand firm on what we've done as Seneca, that we have not had those issues.
But then you read the letter and it...
No, because this is not fracking. That's what I'm saying.
And it's not
shale. I think there is two sides to this topic very much. In fact, there's probably 10 sides to this topic. There is definitely this gray area in the middle that I hope we explore and tell people about, but they were not helping themselves.
All right, so Wendy, so like continue, take me back to Australia, continue to walk me through these Australian podcasts. Because so far, I mean, we have had some highs and we have had some lows emotionally. It's been an enjoyable whiplash, but whiplash just the same. So I'm ready to see, like, what's coming next, what's coming next.
Okay. So this next clip is from a show called True Stories, which is from the SBS, which is the Special Broadcasting Service in Australia. And in this podcast, one person tells a story of something that is really important to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the beautiful thing about this podcast is that it really tries to represent what Australia is,
mm-hmm,
which is a diverse nation of immigrants and First Peoples, and not just this blonde nation full of Ken dolls that go surfing, which is kind of your classical image of Australia. And this clip is from a story titled Ex-Yugos, which is short for Ex-Yugoslavians, and it's written and read by Sofia Stefanovic. And Sofia was born in Yugoslavia back when there still was a Yugoslavia, and her family moved to Melbourne, which is where I'm from, when she was 5. And so she kind of left a country on the brink of civil war.
Uh-huh.
And so in this clip, she tells this story of a very memorable encounter with another ex-Yugo,
mm-hmm,
that had the potential to become very uncomfortable.
Recently, I was tipsy on a Melbourne tram. There was a group of music students from the VCA with their instruments neatly zipped up in cases. With them was this older guy, about my age, maybe 30. He had crazy big hair, and I thought I saw the remnants of makeup on his eyes. Maybe he was a bit high or drunk. He was hanging out with the young musicians and talking to them in a familiar accent. That's not real music, music you read from sheets. Real music comes from within, you know, from the soul. The young man listened politely, and I was reminded of the hundreds of old Yugoslavian songs, best sung when you're drunk and smashing glasses, songs about heartbreak and desire. He slumped down next to me, and we continued the tram ride towards St Kilda. I suspected him as being one of ours, what we ex-Yugos call each other, from his features and his accent and his attitude. Maybe he thought the same about me, because he asked me where I'm from. Serbia, I said. He switched from English and said, I'm from Bosnia. I knew if I broke into song now, something from Bijelo Dugme or Azra, he'd know it and we could sing all the way home. We spoke in our language. Which city are you from? He asked, and I told him, Belgrade. It turned out we were the same age. I guessed he'd come to Australia later than me. I'm from Srebrenica, he said. And the word felt like a punch. My heart rose into my throat. Because Srebrenica, if you don't know, is a small town in Bosnia where there was a massacre of over 8,000 Muslim men and teenage boys in 1995. I did some quick maths in my head and realised that this guy was 12 at that time. That's why he's alive. They killed boys just a little bit older than that. If he had an older brother or a dad. I was 12 then too, in Melbourne, listening to my parents howl as those images came up on screen. The massacre was perpetrated by my people, the Serbs. He could have screamed at me or turned away and let me dissolve into the floor like I wanted to. I don't know what the other people on the tram thought as they watched our foreign language exchange, but what they now saw was the drunk guy hugging me and me falling into his hug, the two of us holding each other tightly. He called me his sister, and though we were strangers, we weren't strangers. The war wasn't our idea. The decisions were made by people bigger than us. We sat leaning against each other, neither of us sober, our eyes filled with tears about something that happened a long time ago. We sat in solidarity in some mutant version of brotherhood and unity, the kind that can resurface on a Melbourne tram with the memory of a massacre.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I think I almost cried when I heard this clip the first time, because I think what hit me was the political situation in America, but I guess in the world right now, is about so many big ideas, racism at the heart of them. I think that's what it feels like, blaming.
I'm inclined to agree.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I feel like I'm not going out on a limb here.
No.
And then there's this clip that I feel is at the... It's just this like little microcosm of what our worlds are really like. We talk the big talk. We have ideas. People get angry at rallies. But life is really just getting coffee from someone, being in a tram with someone.
I mean, the world is literally burning. But, I mean, it's like, you know, I guess like the whole point of life is to continue to have moments like that and like to get from one to the other to the other.
Yeah. And I like to think that most people in that situation, maybe they wouldn't have hugged the writer, but would have had some kind of nod of this wasn't your fault, where this is different. I feel like this is what actually does happen. And then we just, I hope so. I don't know.
What do you mean you feel like this is actually what does happen?
Like, I feel like this guy's response of hugging her rather than getting angry at her for past wrongs that were not hers.
Yeah.
That on a one-to-one scale, if you met someone whose background and you were having a joke with them.
Yeah, having a regular conversation doesn't.
And then you found out that they had, that their history had wronged you. I think there would be this mutual understanding of where does this put us? Let's keep talking. You wouldn't just punch them in the face. I think that's how most people
would
respond.
You wouldn't just punch them in the face. But the thing is, though, is that, like, I don't know, like, okay, so, like, I'm Black and I'm from the United States. And if I met someone who said, you know, and if I found, let's say, that their, like, great-grandfather was a part of the KKK, I literally would honestly would not have any interest in continuing a conversation with them. I would just kind of be like, I'm just gonna go home.
Yeah.
Like, it's been really great meeting you. I'm just gonna go back and lock my doors and be in the safety of my bed. And like, I don't necessarily think that I'm wrong for that. But like, the fact that this man felt like he could do that was really, I don't necessarily think that I'm wrong, but I do think that this man had an incredible response. God.
I know.
That was really good.
Did we solve the world's problems yet?
I don't think so.
Damn it.
So, Wendy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You were aces. You're awesome. You're great. Is there like an expression in Australian for like great?
I guess it's just great.
So the new season of Wendy's show, Science Versus, is coming out on July 28th. And if you absolutely cannot wait, the trailer is out already. It's 3 minutes. It's short, very sweet, and it leaves you just like thirsty for more. Be sure to go subscribe to Science Versus wherever you listen to podcasts. And by the way, it's Science Versus, like VS, like with a V and an S. Science Versus, July 28th. Wendy Zukerman, straight out of Melbourne.
Thanks for having me.
To recap the clips featured on the show today, the clip about trading fart jokes with the Taliban came from the Australian Broadcasting Corporation's Burn Your Passport. The clip about euthanasia came from Better Off Dead. And the clip about a memorable encounter on a Melbourne tram was from the SBS's True Stories. This episode was produced by Sarah Abdurrahman, Rose Reed, Kate Parkinson-Morgan, Matthew Nelson, and myself. It was edited by Annie Rose Strasser and Peter Clowney. Our theme music was made by Micah Velian, and our ad music was made by Mark Phillips. The show was mixed by Enoch Kim and Matthew Bull. Sampler is a production of Gimlet Media. Oh, and one last thing. Another Gimlet Media podcast, surprisingly awesome, is looking for a couple that's willing to let them record their wedding. It sounds totally crazy, right? But doesn't it also sound like a really awesome way to remember your special day? If you're getting married in September and are interested in inviting Surprisingly Awesome to record your wedding from start to finish, fill out the form at salistener.com. Next week on Sampler, two sisters talk to us about happiness and each other.
This is so astonishing to me because here I am, your sister, and I always thought you were like the tall, pretty, popular one. I mean, I felt like you were very hot. I assumed you thought so. This is like a total revelation.
Oh, you didn't know this?